Welcome to the Charis Christian Center podcast with Pastor Lawson Perdue.
I began teaching 3 weeks ago, 3 Sundays ago, on Complete in Christ, the book of Colossians. Colossians 2 verse 10 says, "You are complete in him who is the head of all principality and authority." Now, when we look at that word complete, it is the Greek word pleroo, and it means to be full, to be filled, to abound, to be liberally supplied, to be wanting nothing, to be perfect. You are complete in Christ. So we begin to share on this, and we begin in chapter 1 talking about our hope in Christ. And Paul is going in Colossians chapter 1. He talks about our hope in the gospel. He talks about a hope that's laid up for in heaven, and then he talks about Christ in you, the hope of glory. But while he's doing that, he said 3 things. He said, first of all, in verse 9 through 11, "I'm praying that you would be increasing in the knowledge of God." I want you to grow in your relationship with God. Secondly, he said, "I want you to know who Jesus is. He's the Lord of heaven. He was creating all things. He's the Lord of earth. He came and he's the head of the body of the church. He died and he rose again. And when you know who he is, it changes who you are." He said he did that to present you in Colossians 1 verse 22, holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. Praise God. And then he goes on in chapter 2 and he says he's not only Lord of heaven creating all things, Lord of the earth. When he came to the earth, Jesus was Lord in every realm, but he said he's also Lord of the grave. Colossians 2 verse 15, he says, "He spoiled principalities and powers, made a show of them, openly triumphing over them in it." Praise God. And when he talks about this hope we have in Christ, he says in verse 27, Colossians 1, 27, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." Praise God. The resurrected Lord of eternity, the resurrected Lord of heaven, earth, and the grave has taken up residence on the inside of you. Now, when you get to understand that, life just can't be so bad. Praise God. Then in chapter 2, he talks really about our authority in Christ. And he talks about what we have. First of all, he says we have wisdom. He is the head of all wisdom, and he's living in us. So we have wisdom in Christ. Then he says we have new life in Christ. He goes on and says we're complete in Christ. He says we're victorious in Christ. And finally, he says we are the righteousness of God in Christ. He says, don't let anybody judge you in meat, in drink, in respect of a holy day or those things, because it's in Jesus. Praise God. Now in chapter 3, he begins to talk about how we walk out this new life in Christ. And so we're going to jump into Colossians chapter 3, begin reading here today. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, notice what he says. "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, you shall appear with him in glory." So he begins to talk about our identity in Jesus Christ. Now, when you study the New Testament, you find out there are 7 aspects of identification with Christ. We were crucified with Christ. We died with Christ. We were buried with Christ. We were made alive with Christ. We were raised with Christ. We're seated with Christ. And we reign with Jesus Christ. And when you begin to understand your new identity in Christ, it will change your life. You see, you look a whole lot better in Christ than you do outside of Christ. And the fact is, when God was working in Christ, he was working on us, and God did in Christ what he wanted to do in every man. Praise God. So he says a couple of things. He says, if you're risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Then he says this in verse 3, you're dead and your life is hidden with Christ in God. I love what Paul says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. He says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So I'm learning how to live the faith life in the flesh. I'm learning how to walk this out. Praise God. And even though I've been crucified with Christ, even though I've died with Christ, I'm now alive with Christ and I live with him. I'm seated with him and I reign with him. You see, knowing Jesus changes everything. Praise God. He goes on. He says, if you begin to understand this, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, you shall appear with him in glory. So as we read in 1 John, look at 1 John chapter 3. Notice what he says here in verse 1 through verse 3. He says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God or the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it does not know him. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, not in some future time. Right here, right now, we are the children of God. Yet it does not appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man who has this hope in himself purifies himself even as he is pure. You see, if you really understand who Jesus is, and you identify with him, and you really believe that he's coming, it's going to change the way that you live your life. Praise God. So we need to fully identify with Jesus Christ. Then he says, not only do we have a new identity in Christ, we have new authority in Christ. Go back to Colossians chapter 3 and notice what Paul says in verse 5. He says, mortify. Now, what's that mean? Put to death. Therefore, your members which are on earth, fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. For which thing's sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. So he says, I want you to put to death. You've got new authority. See, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, he says, you've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear son. You've been delivered from the power of darkness. Chapter 2, verse 10, he says, you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and authority. He's already defeated the enemy. Right past tense, he spoiled principalities and powers, made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. In other words, he disarmed those who were once in authority and made an open exhibit of them triumphing and celebrating that triumph, causing him to triumph over them. Because he's already disarmed them, now I want you to take your authority. See, understanding that Jesus is victorious and he's living in us changes the way we live. Mortify, you put to death these members. Fornication, what? Sexual sin, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, right? Homosexuality, lesbianism, those kinds of sin. He says, in covetousness, which is idolatry. For which thing's sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. You know, so he says, in which you walked sometime when you lived him. You walked in those things when you lived there, but you don't live there anymore. You've got a new address, spiritually speaking. It's like this. When I grew up, when my parents were going to college, we lived over by 4th Street in Pueblo, Colorado. It was a terrible neighborhood. There were a lot of negative things that happened in my neighborhood. When I was 5 years old going to kindergarten, my parents were finishing up college in Pueblo, Colorado. But see, now, when I live there, I walk there. But now I live in one of the nicest neighborhoods in Colorado Springs. And now I walk in the neighborhood I live in because I've got a new physical address, right? I walk in a new area. I walk in a new way. New things are happening in my life. But he said, just like I have a new physical address, now we also have a new spiritual address. Praise God. And what is our spiritual address? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6 says that we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He said, before this, you lived in a different way. In fact, let's go to Ephesians and look at this. Ephesians chapter 2, and let's look at verse 1 through verse 3. You hath he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein in time past, before you received Christ, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, according to the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. See, you were sinners and you came by sin honestly because that's who you were. But you are no longer sinners. You are saints. Your spirit has changed. See, Ephesians 5:8 says this, you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. He says, among whom we had our conversation, our lifestyle and behavior in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and the mind. We were by nature children of wrath. We were just doing what pleased us. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has made us live together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And he has raised us up and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So you walk there when you live there, but you don't live there anymore. So since you've changed spiritual addresses, I want you to change the way that you live. I want you to live like the children of God. Mortify your members. Take authority over your members on earth, over these fleshly sins of the world. Right, I like what Paul says in Romans chapter 6, verse 12. He says, let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. What's understood there? The subject is understood. You don't let sin reign. He tells us in Romans 6, 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you because you're not under the law, but under grace. See, since we understand the grace of God, the more you understand the grace of God, the more revelation of the grace of God that you have, the better that you're going to live. You see, if you really have a revelation of grace, it's not going to cause you to sin more. It's going to cause you to sin less because you'll find out that in your spirit, you are sinless. And you'll begin to live like you are. You were darkness, but now you are children of the light. Walk as children of the light. So you mortify. You don't let sin reign. See, you've been delivered from the authority of darkness. You've been translated into the kingdom of God's dear son. Thank God, darkness, the devil, demons have no power over you whatsoever. The only power that the devil has over a believer is deception. So if you can break the deception, you can break his power. You break the lies, you break his power over you. Glory to God. So he says, you have brand new authority. Now, he says, not only do I want you to take care of these fleshly sins, but he says, I want you to deal with the little things too. Notice what he goes on to say in verse 8, Colossians 3, verse 8. But now you also put off all these: anger, wrath, determined lasting anger, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. You know what the Bible says in the book of James? It says that no man can tame the tongue. Do you know, it takes the Holy Ghost to tame your tongue. But he said, I want you to put off anger. I want you to put off malice, determining lasting anger. I want you to put off blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. You know, you talk to some Christian. I talked to this believer the other day because he was saying some bad things about a person that I'm in a relationship with. He has no authority whatsoever to say these things. He said, this person comes to my church. He's part of my congregation. And he was saying these terrible things, and I called him on it. He's another minister. I said, I want to know what you're saying. He says, oh, I'm saying this. But he goes to your church, and you're supposed to love him. Yeah, it was terrible. I was so angry. I told Barbara, it's like, she heard him, overheard on the phone. She said, it's like talking to a venomous snake. Some Christians are like this. Listen, you don't want to live like the world. You want to talk like the world. You don't want to act like the world. You need to love one another. You need to let the love of God rule your life. And so he says, I don't only want you to deal with sexual sins and covetousness and these things that are outwardly that the world looks at. You know, they're terrible. But he said, I want you to deal with the little foxes that spoil the vines. I love this scripture in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 1. It says, dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So does a little folly in the life of one who has a reputation for wisdom and honor. Dead flies make your perfume stink. You know, when I was a kid, we lived in the farm in southeast Colorado, and we had these fly traps. We put like liver in them, you know, in their jars with the lid. The flies get in there, they can't get out. Oh, we killed thousands and thousands, but listen, they stink. And if you put some dead flies in your perfume, it's gonna stink. Amen? It's the little foxes that spoil the vines. You know what? Strife stinks. Envy stinks. Jealousy stinks. Ugly communication out of your mouth stinks. He says, I want you to get rid of that stinking behavior. I want you to start living good, looking good, and smelling good. I want you to love one another. Love smells good. Hallelujah. Praise smells good. Amen. Put on some praise. Put on some love. Amen. It's good for you. So he says, listen, I want you to do this. Praise God. He says, don't lie to one another. I'm shocked at how many believers will lie to you. I mean, years ago, we had a person, they wanted to be on the prayer team here at the church. I wouldn't let them be on the prayer team. But anyway, they called me up one day because their family had, some family had died in Phoenix. And I was good friends with another minister. And he called me and he said, Pastor, I want you to know I took care of that need. And I've been over their house and I put under their doormat a check for $400 and some. He told me exactly what it was. So they called me up. They're wanting help. I mean, I don't manage those things now. Different people manage those things. But anyway, they called me up. And I said, now, they said, we haven't gotten any money. I said, oh, you haven't got? No, we haven't received any. I said, now, are you sure? Oh, no, we haven't received any. I kept talking to him. Finally, they said, well, a certain person was coming over to put some money at our house. I got the truth. Then they told some leaders in my church, they said, Pastor Lawson called us a liar. I did not call them a liar. They lied. They called themselves a liar. I just got them, you know, Dr. Sumrall talked about Ananias and Sapphira. You remember that? In the book of Acts, I don't know how that fits in with grace, but it's in there. And it's in the New Testament. Praise God. So I don't know how it fits in with grace. But anyway, he's talking about that. And Peter is asking Ananias. He's like, Ananias, did you sell it for this much? Yes. He asked him again. Ananias, did you sell it for this? Yes, I sold it for this. Ananias, did you sell it for this much? Yes. Strike three, you're out. They didn't have cell phones. News didn't travel. A little bit later, Sapphira comes in. She doesn't know what's happened. Did you sell the land for so much? Yes, I did. Are you sure? Yes. Are you very sure? Oh, yes, I am. Strike three, you're out. I don't know how that works, but you know, I think sometimes it might be good if we had a little of that in the church today. Praise God. Might clean up our act a little bit. I mean, the fear of God grew in the place. I mean, signs and wonders and miracles and people were getting saved. Praise God. Hallelujah. I don't know what you call that. Revival by, I don't know. Hallelujah. But listen, don't lie to the Holy Ghost and don't lie to one another. Don't tell a lie. You see, I just made a decision. I am never going to lie. I'm going to tell the truth. I'm going to always tell the truth. Hallelujah. It's just better that way. And so tell the truth. He says, seeing that you put off the old man and his deeds. So number one, he says, you have a new identity in Christ. Number two, he says this, you have new authority in Christ. Mortify your deeds. And not only deal with the big things, but deal with the little ones too. Then he says, you have new ability in Christ. Look at verse 10. He says, you've put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him who created him. It's renewed in the knowledge of Jesus, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. See, in the body of Christ, it's not about race, it's not about class, it's not about religion, it's not about gender, it's about Jesus. If you have Jesus, you have everything. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have anything at all. So he says, listen, I want you to put on Jesus. Put on, he says in verse 12, as the chosen of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humility of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Put this, what's long-suffering? It's to suffer long. See, I'm not very good at that one. When the cow kicks me, I want to kick it back. Love suffers long and is still kind. That's what 1 Corinthians 13 says. Look at what he goes on. Forbearing one another. What's it mean to forbear? You see, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, it says love bears all things. Love endures all things. Love hopes all things. Love will never fail. I want you to keep loving one another. What's it mean when it bears? The Amplified says it this, love will bear up under anything. Love always believes the best about every person. See, he says, I want you to let the love of God rule your life. I want you to let the love of God call the shot. See, you have the love of God in you. The love of God was shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. When you were born again, you were born of God. You were born of love. God is love. John said it this way, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He that loves not does not know God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward you, in that God sent his only begotten Son to be a propitiation for your sin. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that God loved us and gave his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. You see, God is love. And when you're born of God, when you're born of the Spirit of God, you have the love of God in you. So you have the ability to hold up under anything. You have the ability to forgive. Years ago, we had a difficulty. Barbara and I were pastoring at this time in Eastern Colorado, and there was a member of my family came, and you know what? They took an inheritance that was originally going to be mine. You know, it was very painful for me. It was very hard for me to deal with. And every time I went and heard somebody preach for 2 years, you know what I heard? I heard, forgive. Yeah, and I said, God, I forgive him. Help me forgive him. God, I forgive him. Help me forgive him. You see, I knew that in my spirit, God lived there. I knew that in my spirit that I had the ability to forgive them. But yet in the natural, I didn't feel those emotions. So in my spirit, I had dealt with it. But Barbara ministered to me, and some healing was applied to my soul. And what Barbara said to me, she said, your grandfather did not take you out of the will because he was angry with you. Your grandfather took you out of the will because he thought this is how his life could go on. Because he lost his wife, he lost his two sons, and he thought that his ranch would go on if he did this. So it wasn't against you, and that healed my soul. Once my soul was healed, then I was able to forgive that person. So a lot of times, you see, that's forgiveness working spirit, soul, and body. And it begins in our spirit. That's the love of God. The love of God is in you, and you have the ability to forgive. Jesus said, when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against anyone, if you have any little thing against anyone, you forgive it. I guarantee you, Jesus forgave you for more. Matthew 18, you've read Matthew 18, talking about forgiveness, talking about acceptance in the body of Christ. And it talks about a person who had, a little debt, a person who had a great debt, and they were forgiven, and then they went and found a person that owed them just a little bit, and they demanded, you pay me everything or I'm going to have you put in prison. So the master of that person came back and said, listen, I'm going to cast you into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Why? Because I forgave you all these great things, and yet you're not willing to forgive these little things. If you have aught, if you have any little thing against anyone, you forgive. Praise God. Let the love of God rule your life. As Christ forgave you, also do you. Above all these things, put on charity, the God kind of love, which is the bond of maturity. Listen, if you want to show me what a spiritual giant you are, walk in love. You see, the gifts of the Spirit do not prove that you're a spiritual giant. How much you operate in faith does not prove that you're a spiritual giant. The fruit of the Spirit proves how mature you are, and specifically the love of God, because all of the other fruit come out of the fruit of love. So he says, I want you to put on love. Jesus is living in you. Let him live through you. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 through 8. Read it in the Amplified Translation and see how the love of God acts. And act like you've got the love of God in you. And so he says, put on charity, which is the bond of maturity. Let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which you're called in one body, and be thankful. You see, when you walk in love, joy and peace flow forth from love. Let the peace of God act as an umpire in your heart. You know what? If you don't have an umpire, the umpire of the Holy Spirit, your life will be in chaos. So you want to let peace rule. He says, let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Have you ever had God just give you a little song in the Spirit? Maybe you were just singing and worshiping the Lord. Maybe you were singing in tongues and worshiping the Lord. And all of a sudden, you just had a little song come up in your spirit. And you just started singing that song. You sang that song up in your spirit. That song just began to flow. And as that song flowed out, it ministered peace to you. It ministered grace to you. It might have helped you go to the next level. Praise God. You know how we paid this church off and paid it off cash? God gave me a song in the spirit. You were here. A lot of you were here. You know, I didn't beg of you. I didn't twist your arm. I didn't tell you how much money we needed. You know what? God gave me a song, and I sang this song. Hallelujah. I'd go to the gym in the morning, and I'd be on the elliptical. Oh, the angels go, and the money comes. Jesus' name, the money comes. Money, money, money comes to me. Oh, the angels go, and the money comes. Jesus' name, the money comes. Money, 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 money comes to me. Oh, the angels go and the money comes, and Jesus' name, the money comes. Money, 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 money comes to me. Amen? Now, that makes religious people mad. Hallelujah. But that's how we got all the money for this building. Amen? I sang it and danced it right in. Hallelujah. I called it in. Amen. You know, the other day I was at a pastor's meeting. When I was at this meeting, this pastor came to me and he said, I want you to know the biggest giver quit my church to go to your church. I said, they did. I'm sorry. He said, would you pray for me? And so, yeah, I laid hands on him and I prayed. Praise God. And after I laid hands on them and prayed, and I just prayed that the angels would go and money had come and God had given people and caused his church to grow and finances would come. And then as I was in the meeting, the Lord said, I want you to give him $500. So I went out to my car and I got a checkbook and I wrote a $500 check to this pastor of another church. And I went and I folded up my hand and I went and I gave it to him and I said, now I want you to know something. He said, what? I said, I want you to know that the biggest giver did not quit your church. He got a big old smile on his face. He said, Jesus hasn't quit my church. I said, praise God, Jesus is still there. The biggest giver is still in your church. Praise God. So he sent me the nicest note, praise God, and said, I was shocked when I got that gift. And when you prayed for me, praise God, and I told him some of the challenges that we've been through with difficulty. You know, there's always people, so there's always challenges, and you know, and the devil gets in some of their heads. And sometimes the devil working through other people. But you know what? We got to just grow up and get over it. Let the love of God flow through us. Amen? We've got to just let Jesus flow through us. Praise God, let the love of God through us. Minister the grace of God to people. But he says, let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. You spend a little time in the presence of Jesus, spend some time worshiping Jesus, and you know, things won't look so bad on the outside when you spend time in his presence. So he says, listen, you have a new identity in Jesus. You have new authority in Jesus. You've got a new spirit. You've got new ability in Jesus. Put on Jesus. Let Jesus live big in you. Finally, he says, I want you to let this new life in Christ direct your life through relationships. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Let's look at verse 18. Notice what he says. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter against them. So really, when you read this in Ephesians, he talks about the same thing. Ephesians 5, verse 21 to verse 33. And he talks to husbands. He says, husbands, I want you to love your wives. Now, there's three ways he says to love your wives. I want you to love your wives as Christ loved the church. I want you to love your wives unconditionally. Love is the fulfilling of the law, Romans 13:10 says. I want you to love your wives spiritually as Christ loved the church. How did Christ love the church? Jesus loved the church. When the church was making all the wrong choices, when we were doing all the wrong things, Jesus loved us and Jesus died for us in that condition. Husbands, I want you to love your wives unconditionally. No matter what they're doing wrong, I want you to love them. Praise God. He says, secondly, husbands, I want you to love your wives as yourself. That's emotionally. Right? Husbands, I want you to do this, those of you who are married. I want you to seek to make your wife your best friend. I've been working on it for 37 years. Haven't quite perfected that area yet. Pastor Lawson still needs some help. He's kind of rough around the edges, okay? But I'm getting better. I'm growing, praise God. And one thing Barbara and I do, we do communicate well. But I'm seeking to make Barbara my best friend, right? The third thing he says, husbands, I want you to love your wives as your own body. No man ever hated his own body, but he cherishes it. He cares for it as the Lord cares for the church. I want you to love your wives as your own body. I want you to love them physically, and I want you to love them financially. You know, when Barbara and I were first married 37 years ago, most of our battles were about money, okay? Now, we have very few battles about money today. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, you know what? We've been working with this situation. We've been believing for 37 years. We've been implementing the aspects of the scripture, and they're working in our lives. So it's a lot better than it was 37 years ago. Amen? Praise God. But wherever you're at, you know what? God will help you. You know, in between services, I was in the break room. I was talking to a couple. They came here. They weren't even married. They were just living together. But, you know, they came to church for years, and they decided they needed to get married. Praise God. But they were telling me when I was back there, we bought a house, $410,000 house, but we only had to pay $260,000. I was so excited to see how God had brought them from the lowest levels society and raising them up and placing them in a high place. Praise God. It's so good to see. I had another couple talk to me. They said, Pastor, we got a house. You prayed for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. God will help you. Believe God. He'll help you wherever you're at. He says, husbands, I want you to love your wives. He says, wives, I want you to respect your husbands. I want you to honor your husbands. I want you to submit to them. Now, submission is not just talking about obedience. You can obey someone and not have an attitude of submission. Submission is talking about an attitude of heart. So he says, I want you to respect them as is fit. He says, wives, submit to them as is fit in the Lord. In other words, if they're asking you to do something, if it's not going to be offensive to Jesus, then you need to do it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, we work at this. Praise God. And we've been working a long time. Amen. But it works. And so he says, husbands, I want you to love your wives. I want you to love your wives spiritually as Christ loved the church. I want you to love your wives as yourself. I want you to communicate with her. I want you to make her your best friend. I want you to love them physically as your own body, as your own flesh. I want you to take care of them physically and financially, right? Wives, I want you to honor your husbands. I want you to respect them. I love what Amplified says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33. Right? Read that, wives. Ephesians 5 and verse 33. Husbands, you can read them all. All right, read the message. Barbara loves this one. Husbands, go all out in your love for your wives. Praise God. She's told me that 1,000 times if she's told me once. Go all out in your love for your wives. Praise God. So I'm still working. I'm still learning. But he goes, not only husbands and wives, because he says, if it doesn't work at home, I don't want you to export it. Right? Then he talks about children and parents. And he says this, children, obey your parents in the Lord for in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Fathers, don't exasperate your children. I could say sometimes I've probably exasperated mine. But he says, I want you to encourage your children. Fathers, encourage your children. Praise God. Children, if you want, Ephesians says it this way in chapter 6, verse 1 through 4. If you want to have a good life, if you want it to be well with you, if you want to live long on the earth, honor your parents. Okay, I'm still learning how that looks. I'm still applying that in certain areas. Okay, but children, honor your parents, and parents, encourage your children in the Lord. I like what Ephesians says in this area also. It says, bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. What's that? That's the care and the teaching of the Lord, or the warning. Sometimes we've got to warn our children, right? You don't want to go this way because it's not going to have good results, right? You bring them up in the care, in the nurture, in the teaching, the warning and the admonition of the Lord. Praise God. So he says, I want you to encourage your children. I want you to teach your children. Parents, you teach your children. Whose responsibility is it to teach the children? The parents' responsibility. Now, we're doing our best to do the best we can have when we have them, but we have them about 3 hours a week. You have them how many hours a week? Okay? So, parents, bring your children up. I love what Deuteronomy 6 says. It says, live the word before your children. Live the word. When you get up, when you lie down, when you walk by the way, you live the word before your children. If they see you live it, then it'll be easier for them to walk that out. Amen? Praise God. So, husbands and wives, children and parents. Then he talks about employees and employers. Servants, employees. Obey in all things your employers according to the flesh. Not with eye service, not just when they're walking or watching as men pleasers, but in singleness of the heart, fearing God. You work for your employer out of respect of your relationship for God. Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Listen, this is what I want people to say about people, believers at Charis Christian Center. I want them to say, those people from Charis Christian Center are the best employees. They come to work early. They stay up. They work extra. They work hard. They do a good job. They have a good attitude. Praise God. And you know what? If you go to work early, you go to work, stay late, you do extra, you keep a good attitude, guess what? You're going to get promoted. And if you don't get promoted there, God will promote you somewhere else. But you keep a good attitude. You see, I went to Dr. Lester Sumrall's Bible school. And when I went there, I worked Monday to Friday. Also worked Thursday night and Sunday morning and Sunday night in the sound department. Praise God. And then I went to school on Monday night, Tuesday, Wednesday night. Thursday night was Bible school and church. I worked, praise God, and Friday night. Praise God. So I worked all the time. But you know, in a little bit after I worked for doctors, I replaced about 3 people. See, there was 2 people working in my department. One of them had quit before I got there. I went there. I wanted a job. They said, we don't have anything open right now. So I went out and picked up 6 job applications, came back by there. In a couple hours, and Dr. Delron Shirley, who was the dean of the Bible school, said, has the office manager talked to you? I said, no. He said, he called. He wants to talk to you. I went over to see him. He asked me, he said, have you ever run CDs tapes and videos? I said, no. He said, have you ever operated a computer? I said, no. But I said, I tell you what, I could do anything that Jesus wants me to do. He said, how much do we have to pay you? I said, anything you want to pay me. He said, $4.10 an hour. I think that was minimum wage. Is that okay? I said, yes, that'll be fine. Praise God. He said, come to work next Monday morning. You know, somebody got mad They had a bad attitude. They quit that day, and God opened that job for me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Tanya Ziegler works for me. I'm telling you, she is a phenomenal employee. And, you know, Tanya came here a number of years ago, and she had told some other people that work for me that she would like to work at the church, but they didn't tell me. But Tanya and Danny, we had a Sunday show on a TBN, on the church channel, and we were on there Sunday night. Tanya and Danny at that point in time were overseeing a whole team of people that answered phones. And so they're tithers, so they gave their tithe, and they forgot to sign it. So one of the ushers told me, we put that on Pastor Aaron's desk. So I went into Aaron's desk and picked it up that evening because I knew they would be there, and I took it in so they could sign that, so we could put it in the bank the next day. And Tanya said, you know, I'm about to change jobs, and I've worked for my last employer for 16 years, but I feel like I'm supposed to work at the church. I said, well, that's good, but I don't have anything right now. They signed the check. The next day I came to work, Mike Peterson, who had been working for me for nearly 12 years, said, and he was my first employee, he said, Pastor Lawson, I'm going to be resigning in September, so this, I'm just giving you notice right now. Mike was a phenomenal employee. Praise God. And So that weekend, we were at a church event at one of the homes here of the people in the church. And as we were there, Tanya happened to be there. And I said, hey, Tanya, Mike's going to quit, so you can come to work for me and take this position in September. And I said, I want you to know that I start people out. Then I started people out at $10 an hour. She had two offers for $16 an hour. I said, well, I start people at 10. So she went and talked to Danny, came back in 10 minutes, said, I'll take that job. I said, okay, I'll start you at $12 now. Praise God. Now, Tanya is a phenomenal employee. Did you know in a little bit, God gave Danny two raises in his job, in his employment, and together they were making more money, am I correct, than she would have made if she would have made $16 an hour. And God promoted her, and then as she's been here and worked, and she does a phenomenal job. But if you work and you do a good job, God will promote you and God will bless you. And if you're where you're supposed to be, God has different ways that he can get money to you. God will take care of you. God will help you. Praise God. I just want you to know it works. But do your best. Listen, it seems like it's a thing. I have an employer friend, and he said that's what employees do. They complain. You know, if you want to get promoted, quit complaining. Quit complaining. Start rejoicing. Start praising. Start thanking God for what you have. So he says, servants, employees, obey your employers according to the flesh. Don't do it just when they're watching as men pleasers in singleness of heart, fearing God. Whatever you do, do it heartily as the Lord and not to me. Do a good job. Do it with all your heart. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. If you're working, do it as unto Jesus. But he that does wrong shall receive for the wrong which he has done, and there is no respect of persons. If you're a turkey, you're going to get rewarded. Okay? You understand the slang, okay? So don't be like a donkey, right? Or a horse. The psalm says a donkey or a mule, they need a whip. But praise God, you turn your heart. You be soft-hearted. See, some of you, if you'll be soft-hearted to the Lord, you get your heart right with the Lord. You be soft-hearted to the Lord, it'll save you a lot of grief and a lot of pain. But if you don't keep your heart soft before the Lord, it can be expensive. So keep your heart right before the Lord. Then he says, employers, Colossians 4, verse 1. Employers, masters, give unto your employees that which is just and equal, knowing that you have a master in heaven. Listen, I try to do the right thing for the people that work for me. You know why? Because I got a big boss in heaven. Amen? And I know if I treat the people that work for the church, if I treat the people that work for me right, God's going to take good care of me. Amen? And listen, God has taken good care of this church. You know, that's one area. We really try to obey God. We try to obey God, number one, in giving and receiving. Praise God. If we obey God in giving, then we started this church with almost no people and no money. And this building is completely paid off. We've got several million saved for the next big thing that God's going to give us a great opportunity. Let me tell you. And you know what? We're just doing what he told us. And number one, we give. Amen. Number two, we pay our bills. And number three, we save. And we just stay at it. And we're persistent. and we're persistent and we seek to obey God every day. Every day. And we just stay at it. And you know what? It just keeps coming back to us over and over and over again. So it says, listen, Christ is living in you. Let him live through you. Just let Jesus live his life big in you. And when you do that, you know what? Life will just get better and better and better.
Thanks for listening to the Charis Christian Center podcast with Pastor Lawson Perdue. If you would like to receive prayer, product, or more information about the ministry, go to www.charischristiancenter.com or call us at 719-418-4000.